Right. Well, what I'd like to do today is provide a conceptual overview of the major steps in producing the data and related deliverables for this project. First and foremost, there are several underlying goals of the project that in many ways drive the choice of specific methods for generating these products. First and foremost, we want these to be living products in the sense that they are useful not only in the present, but also will serve as a broad and solid base upon which to build more detailed data, peripheral products, and future monitorings. Moreover, we want to ensure that future work can be done by the people directly involved in the management of the resource and to whom such data is most important and helpful, namely the foresters and resource managers in Bosnia-Herzegovina. To these ends, we want to use well-documented, proven, and straightforward techniques to every degree possible, use commonly available commercial off-the-shelf software, and provide copious, detailed step-by-step documentation of the process. Further, it'll be critical to have initial support and ultimately personnel training in concepts, techniques, and software for the people in Bosnia who are going to be using this data. Landsat thematic mapper data was chosen as the type of imagery to use in this project because it's essentially the only platform that adequately meets our criteria. Its spatial resolution and spectral characteristics have made regional scale vegetation mapping almost a trademark application of this data. Also, the long-running archive of data allows us to use imagery from before, during, and after the conflict to monitor change in that period and identify trends in the resource extent and health. Finally, the successful launch of Landsat 7, which produced data available starting this summer, ensures that data capable of producing comparable results will be available in the foreseeable future. This slide shows the patchwork of imagery necessary to get complete spatial coverage of Bosnia. The slide shows the five scenes for 1994, displayed in a color IR composite. With one exception, all the images in this presentation are shown in color IR because that display shows vegetation and the differences in vegetation most readily to the human eye. As such, vegetation is shown as reds, pinks, and some of the darker maroonish colors, with the hardiest broadleaf vegetation tending to be the most vibrant red. And as the slide points out, we're using imagery in this project from the years 1987, 1994, and 1998. Okay, this is basically an outline of the remainder of the talk, which, as I mentioned, will be a conceptual overview of the major steps in the creation of the products, and hopefully will give you some insight as to how we create this data. As such, the examples and images used are simplified in order to facilitate a clear conveyance of the concepts. The initial segment of the work is the pre-processing of the images, i.e. putting them into a format that's, and taking the raw data and putting them into a format that's suitable for the later analyses. The first step in this process is rectification, which associates every feature in an image with the actual geographic coordinates of that feature on the ground. This allows for aerial estimates of various features on the ground, integration with other spatial data, including GIS coverages, roads, administrative boundaries, such as that, and allows managers to locate points of interest in the field with the GPS unit or for maps. Bottom three lines are essentially to satisfy the curiosity of some of the more technically oriented who might be interested in the map projection we're using, which does have implications on some of the aerial estimates. Okay. The way this is done is by finding identifiable features on an image for which actual ground coordinates can be identified through either maps, GPS, or potentially other GIS coverages. A collection of these ground control points creates a polynomial transformation model, which assigns ground coordinates to every part of the image. This slide shows the yellow dots for 164 ground control points for the central image of the 1994 data used to create the transformation model. One thing to note here is the spread of the points throughout the entire image, which is critical to getting an accurate rectification. Such as haze, or also some effects having to do with different dates of acquisition, differing sun angles at different times of year. So, while the differences can be the result of two fundamentally different things, it is important to separate out the two and minimize those not directly related to the feature. Otherwise, false conclusions about changes to the resources or misidentification of features on the ground could follow. The method follows, for relative calibration, follows a much-cited and used technique developed by Hall et al. And published in 1991. The basic idea is to choose from all the images to be used one image, ideally with minimal cloud cover, as a reference image, and to scale the data and all the other images to the data of the reference image. This slide shows in true color a small portion of the Bosnian landscape containing both bright and dark features. The idea is to pick the brightest and the darkest features that are visible on both the reference image and the image to be calibrated, and use their spectra values to achieve the scaling. Naturally, it's critical in doing this to select only features on the ground that do not change at all or change very little in their spectral characteristics through time in order to avoid a false scale. Here's an overlay showing the locations of the darkest and brightest pixels on the chosen reference image. And overlaying on that now are the corresponding areas on the image to be calibrated. The idea is to select from these areas only the 20 brightest and 20 darkest pixels from each of the two images, the reference and the calibration image, as represented by the yellow dots of the honed down set of pixels, and use the average of these two sets of pixels to determine the scaling factors. The results can be plotted as shown by the solid line in the graph. By applying an equation to the calibration image that sets the slope of the line to 1, the spectral values are scaled to those of the reference image. The next step is to merge the different images from each year into a single image covering the entirety of Bosnia for that year, a process which is known as mosaic. So here again are the individual images for 1994. And this is the final product of mosaic, a single composite of calibrated 1994 imagery that blends out abrupt changes at the image boundaries. The process of mosaicing is relatively simple. You just simply apply a weighted average to the area of overlap between the two images, and that blends out the abrupt changes between the two while giving greater weight to the image which is closer to the edge of the boundary. With the pre-processing done, actual analyses begin. In this case, with production of the flagship product, which is a forest cover map for each year in question, 1987, 94, and 98 for Bosnia. The basic idea is that this is done by using known forest stands as statistical samples to develop a predictive model that assigns a cover type to every part of the image. Shown here are some of the locations where forest cover characteristics were noted on the ground and which will be used for the statistical samples. Zooming in on one of them, our database is set up to provide a point-and-click information for each point. For each point, we have photographs in four cardinal directions, as well as detailed documentation. And this is boiled down and simplified version of that. At any rate, using these, we delineate sample areas, which are known as training data. In this example, for a conifer stand to the south of the ground truth point, and for a hardwood stand to the north. The pixels within those sample areas are calculated for statistics, and these statistics are the basis for the model that creates the rest of the map. Essentially, what the computer does is takes each part of the map, each pixel, and sees how well its spectral statistics match the various categories that are included. It picks the closest match. So what you wind up getting is going from an image of a landscape with general features like this to a categorical land cover map like this one. An example of another analysis designed to determine relative forest vigor or health is an NDVI analysis. NDVI stands for Normalized Difference Vegetation Index. The results of NDVI identify stands of the highest vigor with higher NDVI numbers and vice versa. And I should take a minute to explain here that it's far and away here. It's a ratio. By comparing NDVI results from two different years, changes in relative vigor can be identified and subsequently interpreted. Here's a large amalgamation of forest stands in Bosnia. An NDVI analysis of this area was conducted for the years of 1987 and 1994, and the results compared. In this slide, the results show a marked drop in vigor for most of this forest area. The deepest blue shows areas of greater than 30% drop in NDVI. And what I'd like to point out here is the difference between this area and this broader area of moderate change. So a visual comparison between the imagery of 1987 and 1994 starts to show what the differences might be. This is 1987. And here's 1994. With a 1994 image, the light green areas to the right clearly suggest anthropogenic change to the resource in discrete, heavily damaged patches. However, the area to the left shows a more widespread and systematic form of damage. This could possibly be associated with insect pathogens or some other environmental variable. In any case, this particular example is fairly stark. The process of interpretation in that example leads to the next point, which is that these analyses all require some degree of interpretation. Parsing out dramatic change from moderate change and from the degree of variation that would be expected under normal conditions within a natural system is crucial to helping managers identify target areas and ultimately shape management policy. Finally, we're going to, as much as we can, tailor the deliverables to the final recipients, to include translation and documentation, adapting user interfaces to be more accommodating to the new software users, and where possible, providing peripheral products or more detailed products on user request. In closing, I'd like to extend great thanks to the United States Institutes of Peace for providing this forum, and to our cooperators, without whose generosity this project would not be possible. These are the World Bank for funding support, the National Imagery and Mapping Agency for providing crucial topographic data, and the U.S. DoD Office of Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict for providing key ground logistics. And that's